Bolt reel number two. Now, Mr. Bolt, I believe that at this time you were carrying out some experiments with the use of radio from aircraft. Could you tell me about some of the problems which arose?
In 1910 and 11, we were having a lot of trouble with the wireless aerial, and experiments of different kinds were carried out to see if we could find a way of stopping the aerial breaking through the lead weight at the end of the aerial, catching in furze bushes and on landing and trees, snapping the wire, which caused it to fly back onto the tail of the machine. One of the experiments carried out was by Captain McNeice, who took the kite wagon out to Frimley Flats, where there was a long stretch of straight road. He had a kite made 10th scale of a pilot kite, a Cody pilot kite. He attached the 100 yards length of rope to the back of his motorbike. When the motorbike got up to full speed, the kite soared high enough to take Captain McNeice and his motorbike off the ground, and went several yards before landing in the furze bushes. So that was counted as a failure.
What had Captain McNeice hoped to achieve by this experiment?
The object of the experiment was to see if we could invent something that would fly above the machine and, when landing, would land behind the machine without any fear of the aerial breaking. Therefore, it would not in any way damage the machine, airplane.
Do you mean the aerial would be literally suspended on the kite?
Yes.
It would be flying along with the airplane and holding it up?
That's right. And it would be flying above the machine all the time, because the force of the machine would keep it well away, full length from the machine, but would be flying, you see, so that there was no fear of it breaking when landing.
Could you tell me about the method that was used at this time for calculating wind speed?
When I went to the balloon section in 09, there was no machines that we could record the ground speed of the wind. Therefore, we had to form a party. A corporal and five men would go out onto the aerodrome with a gas cylinder and some pilot balloons. One man would fill a balloon with gas and go back a few yards. Another man would stand with a flag and with the flag hoisted, another man would march upwind 220 yards. A corporal with a stopwatch would stand at the first point. When the balloon passed the first point, a man would shout down. The corporal would start the watch. When the balloon had travelled 220 yards, the man would drop his flag and the man with the corporal would shout down. He would stop his stopwatch. He would then multiply the number of seconds it took to go the 220 yards by 8, which was an eighth of a mile. The number of seconds were divided into 1,760 yards, which was a mile. Therefore, the number of seconds would show the rate, the result would show the rate of the wind per hour.
Mr. Bonk, would you tell me what you recollect? Mr. Bonk, could you tell me what you recollect about Farnborough in 1909 and the balloon section in particular?
Well, when I went to Farnborough in 1909, I was posted to Blenheim Barracks, which was one of the blocks.
Mr. Bond, would you tell me what you can remember about Farnborough at that time and about the balloon section in particular?
Well, I went to Farnborough in 1909 and was in Blenheim Barracks. I put my quarters were a block of flats in Blenheim, barrack room in Blenheim Barracks, which was occupied by the 1st Battalion of Grenadier Guards. The balloon section occupied three rooms. It was a barracks adjoining the Queen's Parade, a fine lookout near the Aldershot Stadium. The barracks were about a half a mile from the Farnborough Airdrome. We marched out each morning from Blenheim Barracks to Farnborough, where at the corner of the Farnborough Airdrome was the headquarters of the balloon section. On the opposite corner was the White Hart Hotel, which divided the Farnborough Aerodrome from the remainder. Going down to the aerodrome from the headquarters, on the right-hand side was what was known as the Farnborough Aircraft Company. The two main civilian people there were the two brothers, D'Avlin, who were experimenting on D'Avlin machines. A little further down, on the same side, was the Farnborough Aircraft Company, which carried on until we came to the only airship hangar we had at Farnborough. Behind the Farnborough airship was the ground known as Jersey Brow, where we used to do our summer camping, and we had two airplanes, experimental airplanes, which we used for training pilots. On the left-hand side of the road was the Farnborough Aerodrome, which included Lappin's plane, and the Cody hangar was right in the background, close to Pystock Chimney. We just had the football ground there, and we played cricket on the Queen's Parade, a patch which was opposite the building headquarters of the Allchuck Men, where General
you mentioned the De Havilland workshops at Farnborough. Could you describe them for me and some of the work they were doing?
Well, they were, the De Havilland brothers were experimenting with machines, and they had their own airplane hangar which held, or could have held, four or five machines.
How many were there as a rule?
I should say three, because visiting machines, I remember the Morris Farman, Morris Henry, coming across from France, and that was...
You mean the Henry Farman?
Yeah, Henry Farman, mm-hmm. And the Morris Farman, the... There was two machines, Henry and the Morris.
You said the Morris Henry.
No, there's Henry Palm machine.
Tell me about the De Havilland brothers themselves. Do you remember them well?
Yes, De Havilland brothers were two nice looking chaps. One slightly taller than the other, but very much alike. They were very nice people, the both of them. They were experimenting on their own machines in the De Havilland factory, which became the De Havilland factory. At one time, they had about three machines, but at the beginning, but there was room for other machines to be stored at night or rough weather. I remember James McCutton, VC, the first day he came from Gibraltar, the Royal Engineer Gibraltar, as a bugle boy, he went into the De Havilland hangar, switched on one of the machines that were there, swung the propeller, and the machine went forward. It was only stopped by the doors when he was sensible enough to switch off again. He was placed under arrest, and I was his escort when he was taken in front of Captain Maitland and got 10 days CB.
Could you describe the exchange that took place between Maitland and McCutton?
Well, I remember Captain Maitland said, "Well, McCutton, this is a bad start to joining the air battalion." He said, you should have known better. He said, though you haven't done a lot of damage, I can't let you off. 10 days CB. March out.
That'd be about 1912, would it?
Yes, 1911 or 12. It was very, very early on, but I can't remember the date. But I knew I was the escort. And, McCudden and I were made corporals. I was first, but he got made corporal in 1940.